Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. My guest today is Bob Doherty. He's a first-year common counselor from the city of Syracuse. And not only is this his first year in public office, it's his first elected office of any kind. Although new to politics, Bob is a lifelong resident of the city. And prior to serving in the Common Council, he was an Onondaga County probation officer. Bob, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Well, I want to pick up on you being new to elected office. A lot of people are getting pretty turned off by what they see in the political world these days, but you've just chosen to seek it out. So what motivated you to get involved at this time?
Well, you know, Grant, I retired from the Onondaga County Probation Department, as you mentioned, and after about a year or so, I was actually looking for something else to do. I had two part-time jobs that I held for about a day or two each, so those didn't really work out, but I was, you know, at the point in my life when I could, you know, decide what I wanted to do, pick or choose. I got a call from a friend of mine, Tim Carroll, who works in the mayor's office, and wondered if I'd be interested in running for the district council spot, as Ryan McMahon, who held the seat, was probably going to run for the county legislature. You know, my first response to that probably isn't printable or you don't want to put it over the airwaves, but I just, why would I do that? But, and possibly, you know, what you've been mentioning, you know, the idea that, you know, do you want to get in politics at this time? But he said, think about it. So I said, you know, give me the weekend. And I thought about it, talked to a few of my family members and my wife, of course, and, decided that, it's corny, but, you know, maybe that I could, you know, make a difference. And so I decided to give it a shot.
Well, how have you found your first year so far? What's it been like?
You know, when I got into it, I asked people, you know, friends of mine on the council, Pat Hogan, who's a pretty good friend of mine who's been serving for a while, you know, what it would be like. The really interesting thing to me is that people told me that the phone calls and the constituent complaints will take up a lot of your time and drive you crazy. I've actually found that that's what I've enjoyed the most. Hmm. The meetings, and people know I've never been a meeting person. I can only last so long before my head hits the table. But the meetings, you know, they add up. There's more than I thought there was going to be. And after a while, they all seem to blend into one. The constituent calls, however, it's always kind of nice to help people out and have them at least, know that they've been heard. And I've enjoyed doing those things. I really believe it's the little things that add up to a quality of life in the city. And, you know, so somebody having, you know, a barking dog, you know, or their garbage hasn't been picked up, or, you know, all those kind of things. I mean, those are things that you actually can do something about, I think, make some progress in the short term and you know, can maybe keep people happy.
Well, you mentioned at the outset the desire to make a difference, and it sounds like then maybe what you're discovering is that kind of retail level of politics is where you're making a lot of difference.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a district counselor. You know, we've got five district counselors for each of the five districts, election districts in the city, and then we've got four at-large counselors. The district counselors, you know, tend to look more at the nitty-gritty, mm-hmm. whereas I guess, the at-large counselors are looking at, you know, and not that we all don't look at all the issues facing the city, but they don't have those responsibilities. So, yeah, I think that this is, you know, where you can make a little bit of a difference. And I've always believed, through what I was doing in probation and a lot of the other things I've done, I think you do things one thing at a time, one person at a time. You know, I've done a lot of work with juveniles, one kid at a time. I think that's the way, to try to solve all the big problems in the world. I think that's a much, the long term and a tougher undertaking.
Are you beginning to develop an area that is more of your expertise on the council than other folks? Did you come in and people look to you, for example, about criminal justice or there are other areas?
Well, I think that originally people thought that I would add, more of a criminal justice flavor to the council. However, that's not my whole life. And what I did was a lot in juvenile justice in the probation department. So it wasn't, as much law and order. You know, we really were looking more at the family and the best interest of the kid and all those kind of things. I think what's happened to me now is I've really taken a much, through my, especially through campaigning, which you had to shove me out the door to get me to go out and go to the functions and go door to door because there's things I'd rather be doing. But as my wife found out, going door to me, once I start talking to people, I don't stop, or listening to them too. And the number one thing I kept hearing about was housing problems, just vacant houses, derelict houses, all the problems with foreclosures, but the things that are really affecting the neighborhoods. And I think that has become my number one issue. We had the issue that came up recently with the land bank, which we now are, we are going to have one of the first land banks in New York State as soon as everything goes through the state process. And that, as well as a vacant property registry that we're working on, and just a lot of things along those lines to try to, it's twofold. Number one, it's to improve neighborhoods in my mind. And number two is to get some of these properties back on the tax rolls, because obviously every municipality needs, more tax money, more revenue. And so I think it can be a win-win if it's done right. But again, it's not going to happen overnight.
Is there anything that you've encountered so far that has really surprised you that you just weren't prepared for in this first year?
I think the level of complexity of government, nobody can be an expert on all of it, particularly, this is a part-time job. My colleagues remind me, we keep track of our hours and it doesn't work out to be an awful lot of, dollars per hour. But I think that, we just finished the budget process and to think we're ever going to be a paperless society when you see these books that, we get a book every 2 weeks that comes out that's a couple inches thick, for just all our ordinances and the things the city's doing. But the budget process is incredible to me and very complex. And that was a surprise to me.
Well, it sounds like you've had a overall pretty good experience so far in this first year. But I did want to ask you, in addition to being surprised, is there anything that you experienced that threatened to crush your young political soul? This is your first year.
The number one thing that has bothered me is I got involved in a little campaign funding kerfuffle, I guess you could call it. That's a word I don't use very often. But not knowing really what I was doing and not knowing how all this works, I just thought, Democrats giving money to Democrats, that's fine. I didn't really understand exactly that there were some problems with that. And that's really got me down, to think that your integrity is being questioned. And that's not why I got into this, I think I've lived an okay life, and all of a sudden you got your picture on the front page of the paper with an arrow pointing at it, which, But once that was over with, life goes on. I think that people that know me, they know that I'm going to do the right thing, or I'm going to do what I think is the right thing. It was disappointing to me. I learned a lot from that, and I think I'll, try to keep my eye on the ball a little bit better from now on.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with Bob Daugherty, a first-year city councilor in Syracuse. Well, what have you found to be the most difficult issue that you've wrestled with this year? You mentioned the complexity of government overall, but is there one issue in particular that was just the toughest one to really either wrap your arms around or feel like you could do something about?
I think the budget, since we've just finished that, there's you look at all the numbers, and you look at, what can we do? We need to, have services for the people of the city of Syracuse. We also need to be fiscally sound as much as possible. And if you look at the examples of Yonkers and many other cities across the country, Buffalo, obviously, and, there are cities that have gone bankrupt. So we want to do what we can. And I want to do what I can do for my constituents. But then again, we've got to try to be as fiscally responsible as possible. The mayor presented her budget. The councilors got together and we decided there's some things we wanted to do. So we added some money to the budget. And it really, these were areas that we thought were very important, of course, or we wouldn't have done it. I woke up the next morning and I thought, we're going to spend extra money that we thought the money is coming in from sales tax. But then again, we're borrowing money here and there. We don't have reserves, et cetera, et cetera. So thinking, what did we just do? And of course, we got a lot of criticism for that. And I think that everybody was good and well-intentioned. But from the outside looking in, thinking, these guys are spending like drunken sailors here, being that we're all Democrats, I think they can, accuse us of that anyhow. I think that was difficult. It continues to be difficult.
I want to come back to that issue a little bit later in a different way, because the way that story at least got reported in the paper was of a kind of a showdown between the city council and the mayor. So I want to come back to that. But let me stick with this question of issues. And I wanted to ask you a question now about education and the school budget. You mentioned the budget overall, but the education system in the city seems to be in a vexing situation at the moment. The district has been operating under a deficit. It has been cutting back to deal with that. And more generally, as you just mentioned, the city is in an austerity mode, as are local governments around the country. But there is a shared sense that the quality of the public education system is a key component to the city's long-term economic development and the retention of the tax base in terms of where people want to live, among other important effects. So being one of the big five urban districts, the city district doesn't put its budgets and the taxes to pay for them up for public votes in the way that other school districts do. It's decided by you folks and the mayor. And then the city holds you folks accountable through elections. So I guess all this is a way of just leading up to, I wanted to know, do you think the city is doing enough right now to support its educational system? Is it striking the right balance given the constraints?
Well, this is a real tough one for me. I've always been a big supporter of the city school district. My three sons, graduated from Corcoran and went on. After that, my wife's a TA in the city district. One of my sons is a teacher. Another one is he works for the district, and he's trying to become a teacher. So, and my nieces are teachers. I think I'm pretty close to this as a probation officer. I've been in almost every school in the district. I have been in every school in the district, and I know many people in the district, and I know how they're struggling. I think the city's doing everything that it can. Clearly there are problems with the state education funding system. Every time we hear it, we understand how, basically the Long Island schools are in a much better position than the upstate schools and therefore are able to absorb school cuts from the state, much more easily than the upstate schools, which are more dependent and have a much lower, property tax rate, et cetera, et cetera. I absolutely understand and agree with what you're saying about the school district being so key to who, to the city. Who's going to live in the city? Where are they going to send their kids to school? I've said before, we can't have the city, basically just for, childless and retired people. We have to have a school system, that is going to be attractive. And I think there's a misunderstanding about this so many times. I think that, I talk about the school graduation rate, which, again, being a probation officer, having been a probation officer, I know how our kids struggle. And if you can't read, you're going to have a lot of problems, and that's a whole other, story. But, parents from middle-class families, of a certain education level, their kids are going to graduate from the city school district. This is because, whether it's 40, 50%, whatever it might be, those kids are going to graduate. I don't think it was ever in my mind, there was never a question that my kids were going to graduate from high school. The question was, were they going to go to college or what were they going to do? But, to have this big graduation party, it's a, this is a, transformational part of your life, but this was always expected. And I think it still is expected of those children. And I'm not trying to throw away the other kids who are going to struggle. But I think that, the city school district really gets a bum rap, for their graduation rates. The kids that graduate from the city high schools go to good colleges. They go to college. So I don't think that that should be much of a concern for people who are thinking about living in the city or sending their kids to the schools or not. I'm not turning a blind eye, however, to the problems the school district has. Just to follow up on that, I've met with the superintendent a couple of times, and I'm extremely impressed with her. She's been very honest with me, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. And she's honest about, the struggles, that confront her and the problems that the district has and some of the things that she has no control over. She can be the superintendent, but, there's a lot of things that a superintendent can't control. And I think she's been a breath of fresh air.
Well, I wanted to turn to the political process now. I mentioned this before. The working relations between the mayor and the council have been getting a lot of press over the year, and I mentioned before when you were talking about the budget and the back and forth on that, how would you characterize the working relationship that the council has with the mayor?
There's a lot of carryover from last year, and I guess the last term or whatever. Obviously there were some, conflicts, fights between the mayor and the council about the school district, about some, especially some planning issues. And we came right in that when there were they wanted to have some changes to the planning board. there are five people that were on the council last year, and we've got four new people. And I think the four freshmen, to coin a phrase, came in with the idea that we did not want to have this, animosity, if that's the right word. I think both sides have made mistakes. Both sides, had good points, had the best interests of the city in heart. I think some things, oftentimes in life, it's not what you do, but how you do it. And I think that was part of some of the problems that happened, between the mayor and the council. I should also mention the Ida Benderson Center. Obviously, people are pretty familiar with mm-hmm. that and what happened with that. And I think good decisions, maybe poorly executed. I could see both sides of that. I myself, I didn't get into this to make enemies, or to get on TV or radio. I just really wanted to do this as, something I thought where I could make a difference. And I think there's different ways to make your point. I don't think anybody is trying to grandstand, but I think people want, how can we make our point? And if that's maybe having a press conference or waving, some signs or something, that's one way. And I think the other way is just talking to people, which is probably the way that I prefer.
Yeah, I wanted to pick up on that because you mentioned, how things were done as opposed to what was done. And so very specific question on that. How often do the councilors meet with the mayor to have actual discussions as opposed to the meetings that you would have in public events?
We've got Lance Denno is the majority whatever the term is. I can't think of it right now. And Pat Hogan meet with the mayor and the mayor's staff, Bill Ryan and Tim Carroll, every other week. So there is what they call a leadership meeting, which I think is a good idea. This is where they get together and basically talk about what each side, what the mayor's offering, what they're going to be presenting the departments and what the council is going to be presenting and maybe our reaction to what they're going to do. So I think there are definitely lines of communication are open. So I think that's happened before. That's nothing new. But I think that so far, from what I understand so far, and there's always going to be disagreements, and we had disagreements about the budget, but I think so far, at least, we're talking to each other. I'm very comfortable talking with the mayor's staff and with the department heads. I think that's really my job is to depend on their expertise. I can't know everything that the water department's doing or that, different departments are doing, so I will talk to them. And try to get their side of something. That doesn't mean I'm going to always agree with them, but at least I absolutely believe in, trying to keep the lines of communication open.
And how frequently do you folks on the council meet with the county executive for policy conversations?
That's interesting. We really don't. I know that I have individually met with Joni. I've known Joni since she was a little kid hanging outside the store right down the street from my house. And so I know her family, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but we know each other pretty well. Our families, the Dohertys and the Mahoneys, know each other pretty well. I've met with her. I think most of the new counselors have met with her. I know the city, the mayor's office and the county executive's office, meet, very frequently. And we're doing a lot of things together. But one thing that came up recently is we really have not met with the county. There's a new county legislature mm-hmm. also, and we have not really met with them. And, we're going to try to do something about that, particularly being that Ryan McMahon is now, he's leading the county legislature where he was a, counselor last year.
In case you've just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations, and my guest is Syracuse City Common Counselor Bob Dougherty. Well, the council is all Democrat, all nine of your Democrats. I suppose on the one hand that spares you from the partisan rhetoric that we've been seeing at the national level, but I was curious to know, do you think as a working group the council might be missing something that it needs by not having another party's voice formally at the table?
I almost think it's kind of embarrassing that we're all Democrats, and that's not the we'll get all the blame. Our party will get all the blame if there's problems. But really, I've told people In city government, it really doesn't make that much of a difference what party someone is. Last year in some of these, there goes that word, I'll say battles between the mayor and the council, the Republicans oftentimes were lining up with the mayor, depending on the issue. In the city, city issues aren't Democrat or Republican issues. That's more of a statewide and maybe a national thing.
And I wanted to stick with this issue of one-party governance for a little bit. Robert Freeman, the executive director of the State Committee on Open Government, said in an interview with the Post Standard that he thought you folks might be in violation of the open meetings law by discussing legislation at your closed caucus meetings because, again, a caucus meeting for the Democrats in the city council is tantamount to a city council meeting. I was curious, in the wake of that, have you folks discussed that view, and do you plan to change your practice on that you're aware of?
We have talked about it, and just individually, with other counselors, I've talked about that. I've talked with President Van Robinson. I think that, obviously there's different opinions, legal opinions and political opinions about these things. It is helpful for us to be able to meet and talk about legislation and, our intent in a caucus format. It would be very difficult to do that in an open format. I do understand, open government, and I understand why the newspaper would want to be involved, or whoever else, but normally it's a newspaper that would want to be involved in any deliberations. We have talked about it. I don't know that. That we have or will try to get our own, legal opinion on that, because clearly we don't want to do anything illegal. But I think that what we're doing helps us govern the city, and so that's why we do it. Nobody wants to go to one more meeting, but it's the timing of things is very difficult for us. We get the legislation, and we have to meet on Tuesday, and we have to meet on Wednesday for a study session to talk about it. And so we'd be completely in the blind if we didn't have a meeting. So I think nuts and bolts-wise, it works very well for us, but we probably will look for some legal guidance on that.
Well, let me get to the three questions. First, what's the title of the chapter of life you're currently living?
Well, in spite of what we've been talking about, it's probably grandparent.
Second, what's your worst trait?
There's no doubt about the fact that I put the pro in procrastination.
And third, what professional or creative achievement in your life so far has surprised you the most?
Actually, becoming an administrator in the probation department, being an anti-authority person all my life, and then kind of going over to the dark side, I would have thought was probably the biggest surprise that's occurred to me.
That was first-year Syracuse City Common Counselor Bob Doherty. Bob, thanks so much for talking with me.
Well, this has been great. I've enjoyed it.
You've been listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO, Conversations in the Public Interest.